Hello and welcome to Unquestionably Nerdy, the show that makes us want to geek out, freak out, and keep a can of WD-40 on standby. I am one of your hosts, Cadden MacArthur, and whom am I joined by?
Well, as always, you're joined by the host with the most, and I would say the one who mostly knows nothing about what's going on, Cole Browning.
Good. Hello, Cole. How are you?
I'm doing good today. I was going to say, by you saying WD-40, I'm not very confident in what's happening today. What have you forced upon us?
Oh, yes. Well, you should be confident to a certain degree, depending on who you put your money on for this round, as, Cole, we're doing another deathmatch episode.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Who's fighting today?
Today we are pitting together some of the top cybernetic, technologically advanced, famous robots throughout fiction. I have not included any nonfiction contenders in this episode because they can mostly just talk and scare us about the advance of technology.
You know, that's a smart move. I really don't want to be scared by artificial intelligence right now.
Yeah.
But also, are you sure this is even much of a fight? I'm pretty sure Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator, ignoring any combat abilities or smarts or anything, he just has the better catchphrases. And catchphrases wield power.
You're right. I didn't think about the catchphrases. Though I think one of our contenders does have some solid catchphrases. Some classic turns of phrases.
Is one of them Booyah?
I don't know who that is. So no. Oh, Booyah! No, it's not Cyborg. We're not doing Cyborg.
Dang it! Come on.
I thought you were talking about a character named Booyah.
Oh, no. But cybernetics, who knows? Cyborg is definitely a cyborg.
That's true. Well, we're not doing any cyborgs today, I don't think. Double checks notes. Nope, no cyborgs. Just pure machines.
Well, I guess that makes it easier, because I guess they'd all have the very robotic tactics, but maybe it'll be more difficult than I think.
Maybe so. Maybe we'll come back one day and do a more specific episode on cyborgs in particular.
Well, as always, I'm waiting for that day, but right now, let's get to it. Who's our first matchup?
Well, before we go into the matchup, we're actually going to start off and certify what we think about when we think robots. So, Cole, give me your definition, your personal view of robots. What do you think when you think robots?
Slaves.
Oh.
I do happen to know somewhat of the history of this word, and I'm pretty sure robot was the Polish word for slave or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So yeah, that's the one thing I know about the actual word robot. Other than that, I think of things that are entirely mechanical. Terminators, when, you know, it's just a skeleton. I'm not entirely sure whether I would consider, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger's T-800 a robot or not.
Yeah.
He's definitely something that is cybernetic. But yeah, when I think of robot, it is something entirely mechanical, I think is the base that I would include anything under.
That's true. So, you know, under that general of a definition, lots of less character-based individuals could fall under robots, because if you're not talking like a machine-made man, you could include stuff like R2-D2 or maybe one or two contenders that are actually non-human and on our list. But before we get into that, now that we have your personal definition of robots in particular, I've got a few definitions from the wonderful world of the internet, which in a way is its own terrifying source of mechanical technological information.
Well, very interested to see what the internet says. I honestly do want to know whether the Urban Dictionary actually has a definition of robot.
Ooh.
Because, right? That's one of the most interesting things that you can think about. So simple, but how can the Urban Dictionary screw it up? Or somehow make it 10,000 times better than it actually is?
That is true. I don't have the Urban Dictionary definition, the urban colloquial definition, but I do have a couple of other more official definitions, first of which coming from Google, defining it as a machine resembling a human being and able to replicate certain human movements and functions automatically. We then have the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defining a robot as a machine that resembles a living creature in being capable of moving independently, as by walking or rolling on wheels, and performing complex actions such as grasping and moving objects, and a second definition of such a machine built to resemble a human being or animal in appearance and behavior. See, that those first two definitions introduce an idea that we talked about a second ago, the idea that robots are so often thought of as humanoid, which we don't always see in everything we might define as a robot.
Yeah, I really like the Merriam-Webster definition, which was the one where it's like it mimics, I guess, living creatures in the ability to do complex actions and walk. And like you brought up the example of R2-D2. He can walk on his own and he can do complex tasks.
He can fly. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, he can walk, he can fly, do complex tasks, unlocking doors, fixing starships.
Yes.
And I'm like, so I think the Merriam-Webster definition is definitely a much more inclusive one for what a lot of people would consider robots. So I really like that one.
Yeah.
The Google one is too restrictive. I don't think that all robots are humanoid.
Well, let's see if it gets even more constrictive or more freeing with the Cambridge Dictionary defining it as a machine controlled by a computer that is used to perform jobs automatically. That one seems pretty open.
Yeah, that one is really open.
That
one is really open. I honestly don't know what would fall into that or not. The one thing I'm kind of using for my robot test is a toaster considered a robot in this definition? And honestly, a toaster's not a robot in the first two.
We do have smart toasters nowadays.
Okay, then I think that one's gone a bit too far with the Cambridge one, because then smart toasters would be a robot.
Okay, yeah. I have, well, for our last recorded definition, we go to dictionary.com, where we find a machine that resembles a human and does mechanical routine tasks on command, or a person who acts and responds in a mechanical routine manner, usually subject to another's will or automation. See, that one defines it particularly as a person who responds in mechanical and routine manner.
I'm just going to go ahead and say I think the Merriam-Webster one is the winner of all definitions. But I do like the weird thing at the end of, you know, this last definition of person that kind of acts in a way that it's being controlled by something else in a very mechanical way.
Yeah.
Now that's kind of having me wonder of mind control. I'm like, so people under mind control, can they be robots if they just don't have emotion?
That's true. That kind of does fall in line with a brief skimming of the Urban Dictionary definition of robot, which I'm just now viewing for the first time, defining it as a frequent member of the Robot 9000 community. I have no idea what that means, but typically a neat or failed normie. He lacks real-life social skills and communicates with other robots through posting feelings and variations of an animated frog. Man, Urban Dictionary is the best. Robots are usually miserable about being lonely and TFW no GF, which can lead them to become suicidal. God, this is already a very happy episode. They are generally hostile to those they perceive to be normies and Redditors invading and stealing from their community. Robots hate Chad with all their beings.
Oh my god, I just looked it up. Robot 9000 is a 4chan forum.
Oh!
Where they only post... Okay, I don't think they only post, but a lot of their memes, I believe, are just that meme frog. I'm not positive of his name. I think it's like Pepe or something. But yeah.
Oh, but dude. I think that's the most niche definition. Yeah.
Wow. I can't say that that's the only definition.
Uh-huh.
But man, I think that that has to be included in our definitions. So do you know anyone that actively uses 4chan to put into this deathmatch?
I have. Oh, God. I wish I did. I wish I had known Goal. I would have done so much more research.
Ah, missed opportunities. We'll go over the... We'll do a robots part two.
Yeah. Urban Dictionary robots deathmatch. Well, that is all I have for The specific definitions and somewhat more general definitions of robots. And with that concluded, the definition round completed, I think we should go into our first combat round.
I'm up for it. Who we got?
Well, Cole, you mentioned him already, and I think his competitor actually has a strange connection, both being present in the story to either hunt down and kill or protect a particular little boy, that being the Terminator T-800 versus the Iron Giant.
Okay. So this one's tough.
Yes.
First, in real life, the T-800 is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Buff man. In real life, the Iron Giant is Vin Diesel.
Yes, he is.
That's already a tough match right there of Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Vin Diesel. Who would win?
That's true.
I think that, man, this one's tough. I have no idea. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I thought going into this, as I was preparing this list of contenders, I thought Terminator, the T-800, would be a pretty solid landslide toward a victor. But then I thought about the Iron Giant, and having rewatched the Iron Giant the night before this recording to prepare, and the T-800, I watched T2 the night previous, I realized the Iron Giant is really tough.
Yeah, the Iron Giant's the weird one for me right now, because I'm like, it's been a while since I've seen the movie, but if I remember one of his most important abilities, you can blow the man up in a bomb.
Yes.
And his limbs will just find each other and rebuild him.
Yes. I think that's going to be possibly the most avidly returned to aspect of this battle in terms of whoever the Iron Giant faces is that whoever he's up against can do as much damage as they want. The man got hit with a literal nuke and put himself back together.
Yeah, even though the T-800 is strong, first, it can suffer with liquid nitrogen.
Yes.
Not as badly as the T-1000 can, but they can still get parts frozen.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're already doomed if they fall in lava.
Yeah.
But we also know the one that many people seem to forget, but I really like, Terminator Salvation.
Mm.
With our boy Christian Bale.
Yes.
Didn't they end up, like, hanging a T-800 or something? Like, they ended up, like, penetrating him through the back of the skull or something?
Oh.
It wasn't lava, but it was, like, a very much more mundane kill of Arnold Schwarzenegger's cameo in the movie.
Oh, gosh. I can't remember how that fight ended. I know in T2, the T-1000 stabbed that metal rod through the T-800, and the T-800 does have some definite survivability with its ability to reroute its power and come back online even after sustaining heavy damage. But we do know just from the pure intro to T2, seeing the desolate post-Judgment Day future, we see the humans using their friggin' laser rifles can destroy T-800. So just enough blunt force trauma or lasers, both of which the Iron Giant has at hand, is just enough to put them down permanently.
Yeah. Man. Even though I think the T-800 is one of the strongest, you know, just one of the strongest Terminators, even though we basically see him die in every single movie he's in.
Yes.
At the end. But I mean, you need to do some literal damage to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think only on the point that the Iron Giant can, like, be blown to pieces, but then still improve himself and, like, bring himself back together. And we proved in one of the newer movies of, like, the Arnold was shot and, like, couldn't repair himself.
Oh.
Or he still, like, had damage, but, like, he would grow old.
Yes.
And, like, it was hard for him to heal from wounds.
Mm-hmm. Though I wonder, that brings up the point, is how precious is the living exterior to the T-800? Because, you know, we've seen in Genesis and Dark Fate that the exterior can age and slow down, but that's not really the important part. The important part that does the fighting is the interior metal skeleton robotics.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that the T-800 isn't fully robot.
Mm-hmm.
From what I remember, I thought it had some human part, because I thought that the, you know, the one, like, anti-hero or the, you know, morally gray protagonist from Salvation was a T-800, too.
Yes. I know the T-800 has the living flesh and blood and skin exterior to get through time travel, because the only living material can go through time travel, which brings up the question of how does the T-1000 do it if he's liquid metal. But I don't know if the living exterior is precious to him. I don't know if damage to that or age from that will slow him down at all. I don't know. I've not seen Genesis or Dark Fate, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen them, but I honestly think with the multitude of ways there are to kill a T-800,
mm-hmm.
and seeing as how humans can do it,
yeah,
with just normal weapons of shooting them repeatedly with some strong ass guns,
mm-hmm.
I honestly think if the Iron Giant can't be taken out by a nuke,
yeah,
I think he's the winner of this one.
I think he is. I think, yeah, it's a pretty, the Iron Giant is, his defensive and destructive capabilities are triggered in the movie, at least, by the presence of weaponry and threats. That's what breaks through his amnesia and triggers his battle instincts or whatever. So as soon as the Terminator brings out a...
Schwarzenegger's T-800 would have to bring a gun.
Yeah.
Because you saw that he would just, like, take guns from, like, a duffel bag and just be like, all right, I have all my weapons.
Yeah, because he's not going to... Whatever, if the Terminator time travels back to the Red Scare era where the Iron Giant takes place, he's not going to have any laser rifles to contend. He's just got to have, you know, mundane weapons.
Yeah, there's no way he'd be able to make it through that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
Iron Giant, winner number one.
I think the Iron Giant might be our hottest contender going in. Though, before we move on from those two, I would like to... You brought up the question of best catchphrases. Who do you think between the two of them has the best catchphrases? Because I think the T-800 is a definite runner-up for the first place, but the Iron Giant isn't far behind with "You stay, I go." That's my best Vin Diesel. "You stay, I go. Superman. I am not a gun." It's so heartfelt, too.
He's so heartfelt. But I definitely think Terminator's more quotable. I think I gotta give it to Schwarzenegger and Terminator. I mean, this is a franchise that's been going on for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they built it all upon a robot being, "I'll be back."
Yeah.
There's no way that I think that the Terminator's going to have the most powerful catchphrases out of anyone on this list.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm proven wrong, then damn. Chat, get at me in the comments.
Well, that's fair. At least Arnie can take some solace in that he has his catchphrases. He at least won that bout. Well, next up, we have another two similar contenders. For this round of death matches, I tried to find some connection between each of our contenders, at least in the first round. So for round number two, we have individuals known for their mechanical brains, their computing power, their pure knowledge, Cole. And in that, we have HAL 9000 from 2001 A Space Odyssey versus Moby from Brain Pop.
I don't even know why you decided to give me the options, because we all know that Moby from Brain Pop is the winner.
You really? Okay, go. Tell me why.
I mean, have you seen Brain Pop?
I have seen Brain Pop. Not in a while. I think the last time I watched it was in, like, 10th grade.
I mean, even then, I really don't see why you need an explanation for this. Is... He could get all of America on his side.
That's true.
Yeah, he's the robot that's the American hero to all children.
Mm-hmm.
Even from, like, elementary school until, like, the end of middle school, he would have an entire army of humanity on his side against a single AI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Okay, so let's analyze both of their abilities, right? Moby, obviously, with a great extent of knowledge, teaching the children of America class by class, video by video, educating the masses, inspiring I don't know if he has any combat capabilities. But then we have HAL 9000 from 2001, who does have a whole spaceship under his complete command and control. Anybody in the spaceship, he can shut out control of, and he is cold, calculated, completely devoid of morals, you know, like Moby, so moral and just that he is. Does that lack of morals give HAL an edge?
I don't know. Would HAL be okay with killing Moby? Of course, because he'd say, that's not life, that's a robot. So he would have no qualms with killing Moby.
No.
I honestly don't know enough about HAL to say whether or not he would even have the combat capabilities to fight any of this. I honestly don't know what combat abilities he have. I mean, can he extend outside of the spaceship, like out of his own volition? Did he find a way out?
I don't think he specifically, thinking back to 2001, I've watched to the quick tangent about 2001 A Space Odyssey, an amazing film, deserving of every bit of praise it's ever had. It's not a film you need to watch multiple times. It's real slow. Have you ever seen it?
I have only seen bits and pieces, but I have not seen the entire thing through.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not the best person to really make the decision on this one, but I am trying to use this thing called a computer right now to determine how much power does he have outside of just controlling a spaceship.
I think I know there is a sequel to 2001. I've never seen it, but going off of purely the original 2001 A Space Odyssey, I know HAL doesn't, the reason that HAL is a threat within A Space Odyssey is that the human characters are stuck with HAL in the spaceship and they have no way to combat him because he's in complete control of the ship. So if Moby were there with him in the ship, the best way HAL can combat the humans is by shunting them off into space where they don't have any oxygen. But Moby doesn't need oxygen. And if Moby is on the ship, then he can just get to HAL's control panel and turn HAL off, which, spoiler alert, is HAL. HAL is defeated in the film. Once you get in the ship and can get to all the physical controls that HAL can't manipulate, it's just a simple task of turning off HAL's control panel, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess that could be an important thing, is assuming that Moby just has the love and the kindness and the full loyalty of the entire crew on a HAL-controlled spaceship. I do think that more than anything, if we assume that HAL doesn't have a physical like manifestation of a body and that Moby does, that would be the biggest significance is that Moby does actually have some physical body that can be used to cause harm to what is the computer of HAL.
I will say, HAL does, there are like exterior controls. Actually, I guess HAL would have like a sort of exterior form in that the ship, the, what is it called? The Nautilus in 2001? Looking it up, hold on.
I think it's called the Discovery.
Spaceship. 2001 Space Odyssey. 2001 Space Odyssey. Arthur C. Clarke. What is its name?
I think it's called the Discovery.
Discovery 1. Yep, you're right. Okay, so yeah, the Discovery 1 does have exterior pods that can be launched from the ship, and HAL can control those and the little mechanized pincer bits, hand bits. So that does give HAL some amount of physicality that he can attack Moby with. So I think the biggest threat to HAL is Moby getting inside. Once he's inside, ejecting him won't do any good because he can just breathe in space. And from there, Moby can just shut down HAL. But if Moby stays on the outside, HAL can just send the pods and attack him with a little pincer bits.
Okay. And Moby kind of just not having any like special powers, just kind of being a humanoid robot. Wouldn't really have, I guess, the ability to fight it.
Yeah.
or like any super strength.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the coin flip is would yeah I guess the coin flip to it is where would Moby start out in this fight?
Yeah, I'd imagine he'd have to start out on the exterior of the ship, because like we see that Moby and the name of Moby's human companion, whatever that is. You look it up. Moby's and his human companion, the two brain pop duo, they just live in a suburban house. They don't, like, have any, like, significant resources. So really, Hal would be the one coming to Moby with the ship. So Moby would probably start out on the exterior.
So Tim is the name of his brain pop companion.
Tim, yes.
Okay. This one's tough.
This is weirdly closer than I thought it would be.
Really, though, it comes down to the point of Hal doesn't have a body.
Mm-hmm.
If Hal had a body and was still able to control the spaceship, Moby would be dead.
Yeah.
But Hal just doesn't have a body.
Yeah.
I honestly think that if Moby was able to use his army of humans loyal to him,
yes,
from their elementary school educations, then he could get inside.
Mm-hmm.
Just the kind soul that he is.
Yeah.
I think that if there was anyone inside the ship that was also fighting against Hal, then
mm-hmm.
they'd probably be able to save Moby from the pods and the weird tentacle things.
Mm. So if we're considering allies, Hal definitely wouldn't have the backup of the space crew that's with him on the ship, because he killed them, or tried to kill them. But Moby would definitely have Tim, who's a nerd and not going to be a lot of help. And he would have the backup of all of those middle school and elementary school childrens who have grown up to our age, and we can hope and pray that at least some of them are physically fit enough to gang up on a space pod and hold it down long enough for Moby to get on the Discovery.
Yeah, I mean, I really want the combined force of everyone that grew up on Brain Pop to help Moby crush Hal.
Yeah.
But I think if we're saying that the crew of the Discovery 1 wasn't in this fight, then I think it would be a fight for Hal 9000 to win.
Mm.
Only because I do feel like there has to be like someone on the inside helping Moby if he's starting on the outside, which we kind of agreed he did.
Okay, yeah.
So with that, I would have to call the winner as Hal 9000 on my side.
Okay. Yeah, I think he would just, Hal would show up too quickly for any loyal supporters of Moby to show up. And then Hal just had, like, the only way Moby can win is if he gets inside. And the only way he can get inside is by getting past the pods. And he just won't have time to get his supporters to come and distract the pods. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, no matter what it comes to, we've proven that even a bodiless AI can somehow defeat a physical robot without the power of love. That's what's needed. The power of love is Moby's secret weapon. So everyone in the comments, put down if you would be in support of Moby winning this fight. I want to see if...
Yes.
I want to see how many people we can get to turn the tides of battle.
Yeah, F in the chat for Moby.
Yeah, F in the chat. But for now, winner, I would go Hal 9000.
Until that time... Hal 9000 takes round two. That's an interesting match. I'm surprised it went that far. I was kind of expecting a landslide in Hal's favor, but it's closer than you might think if you examine their resources. But Moby's resources just won't have time to get there.
I'm telling you, Huey Lewis knew it from the beginning. The power of love is a mysterious thing, and it almost turned the tides.
You're right. Well, unfortunately, the power of love was just, for the time being, is not enough to turn the tide. But that's round two, said and done. Moving on to round three, we have another set of robots. On one side, we have an individual meant to seek out tools and resources to save humanity from an apocalyptic end of Earth. On the other side, we have an individual slash group meant to hunt down and bring an end to humanity after an apocalyptic event. That being Eve from WALL-E versus the Squiddies from the Matrix series. He's contemplating. He's considering.
There are many words to describe this fight. and I am very honestly struggling. Yeah. Okay, really, it's just Eve and Wally. Like, Eve has the ally of Wally in this. There's all of the machines from the Matrix.
Yeah.
How? Just explain how Eve could win this one.
Okay, if we bring in allies, the question of allies, then I think it's a definite win for the Squiddies, because there are just too many. But if we consider... if we consider this a one-on-one, it becomes closer, significantly closer. Both have high-speed flight and maneuverability. Eve has her laser weapons, her laser arm, whatever. And the Squiddies have that same flight and speed, but they can also carry and throw bombs. They can both be shut down by external sort of EMP-like devices. We see the crew of the Nebuchadnezzar using an EMP to shut down the Squiddies as they swarm the ship. And we see the AI on the Axiom use that sort of like chest piece, headpiece connection thingy to shut down Eve. So really, in terms of maneuverability, firepower, and weaknesses, they're both pretty even. They, weirdly enough, they have pretty similar standings.
All right, so if we're talking about at least like a boxing sense of a fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the statistics they always use is reach.
Yeah.
Eve doesn't have the reach.
That's true.
So I'm like, just a single machine could, you know, somehow find its way to whatever headpiece turns Eve off.
Mm-hmm.
But what were Eve's, like, firepower again? Because I'm like, if it was lasers, then you could slice the hands, but...
yeah, she's got the lasers, and I'm pretty sure that's all she has in terms of offensive capabilities. Like, she might have some degree of strength, super strength, the way she... like, when do we see her use super strength? She, like, pulls that magnet as she gets stuck to it. But, like, even the magnet on planet Earth gets her stuck for a little bit, so she can't even really pull away from that, and she has to blow up the magnet to get away from it. So in terms of reach, the Squiddy does have the reach to get to Eve, but Eve has the laser arms to blast it, and the only ranged capability the Squiddies have are the bombs. And if the Squiddy throws a bomb at Eve 5 feet from her, 5 feet from them, then it's going to hit the Squiddy too. So in terms of ranged capabilities, Eve is more versatile.
True. But how does her laser work? Is it like a sustained laser?
It's like a...
that, like, you know, she can like cut a hole in a door, or is it like firing lasers?
Yeah, it's just like a single blast, kind of like a semi-automatic weapon.
Oh, no, this is a fight for the machines.
Mm-hmm.
For me, because I don't think she'd be able to cut through the machine's tentacles. If it was like a sustained laser,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, she could sustain that and just slice through the thing, the machine would be gone. But yeah, if the laser were sustained and she could slice through everything,
mm-hmm.
I think that Eve would be a clear winner.
Yeah.
But number of tentacles combined with reach for a machine, I think, is what gives it the advantage in my book.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. The Squiddy does have more limbs, so if they can hold down Eve, they've got more limbs to keep the lasers pointed away from them.
Yes.
And then just rip Eve apart, or reach for the shutdown button, attach it to Eve and shut her down.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. And once she shut down, that she's just out of the fight. She needed Wally or whoever else to actually turn her back on. Actually, I think Wally was broken at that point. Someone else turned her back on.
So I would give this match to the machines from the Matrix.
Mm. Yeah, so they're pretty even. Staying at range, they're pretty even in terms of maneuverability and speed. Lasers versus bombs. In terms of getting up close and personal, Eve's laser is still good, but the Squiddy's number of limbs allows it to keep Eve contained long enough to shut her down. Yeah. Sorry, Eve, I was hoping for you, but I think round three has to go to the Squiddies.
That's very sad. Not as sad as Moby, but still sad.
Yeah, true. Well, a close round three, probably the most even fight we've had on a deathmatch thus far. I think Moby and Hal... we're both pretty close, but just kept between. Just the main contender was that barrier of, can Moby get inside? in terms of just straight up power level and capability, even Squiddy might be the most even fight we've seen so far.
Yeah, it really was pretty even. It really came down for me to that point of how strong is Eve's laser.
Mm-hmm.
If it was only just a bit longer to where it could just kind of be like a sustained, basically,
yeah,
just able to cut through things and sustain itself,
mm-hmm.
the fight would have been no way in the machine's favor.
Yeah. Good round, and we head into round four, and probably our second most identifiable robot on this list. Not a whole lot of connection between these two, but we have Optimus Prime versus the Sentinel from X-Men. I suppose you could say the connection being one is meant to stand up for and save the weak and segregated against, and one is meant to hunt them down and kill them.
All right, so the very big caveat to this one is, do the Autobots, the Decepticons, basically any robot from Cybertron, do they have special capabilities or special powers?
Mm-hmm.
That the Sentinels, being that they were meant to like nullify mutant powers.
True.
Is there anything that they could be designed to nullify on any Transformer?
Oh, I see. I guess the only real notable ability, other than, you know, combat prowess, which Optimus has plenty of, the only notable ability for Optimus and other Transformers is their transformations, their ability to get around. And I feel like Sentinels can fly, but Optimus, I think, has them beat on in terms of maneuverability, because he does have his truck transformation, and in a lot of Transformers canon, including the Michael Bay movies,
Hey, do not talk about Transformers Revenge of the Fallen that way.
I will.
You can talk about everything past the first two movies, but I will stand behind the first two movies of being fun to watch.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Sure, Cole. But Optimus Prime does have his wings, his jetpack, his trailer, that allows him to fly with more maneuverability than I've ever seen the Sentinels have. But would the Sentinels, as you were saying, to bring it back to your point, would the Sentinels have any abilities that would allow them to nullify any transformation or added benefits of if Optimus can get to his trailer, is there a way that the Sentinels could nullify that, other than blowing it up? Because that is a factor. The trailer is an external part that he would have to hook up to.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what they would be able to stop on Optimus Prime. I was going to say, they may be able to say, all right, let's figure out a way for us to gain an immunity to hit the blades that Optimus can kind of pop out of his arm.
Mm-hmm.
But like, even at that point, Optimus Prime could just like pick up part of a building,
yeah,
and just crush the Sentinel.
Yeah. They're pretty even in terms of size in most regards. The Sentinels kind of vary, but I think like in the Michael Bay, I think in those movies, he's like somewhere between 16 and 18 feet tall, I think. So in terms of just raw, if they're not facing against mutants, the Sentinels kind of just have raw firepower and physical strength, because they do have lasers, and they have enough lasers to kill Wolverine, which is a thing.
Yeah, I mean, they were really powerful in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now I have to ask, what model Sentinel are we talking about?
Yeah.
Because they do get more powerful and more powerful as they go.
That's true. We do see in the Days of Future Past movie that they get, you know, way more advanced in the future timeline. But in most stories for the Transformers, they take place in the modern day, whatever the modern day is. So if it's the 90s or the early 2000s or whatever, it usually takes place in the modern day. So we probably wouldn't see the future Sentinels that can replicate powers from the movie.
Okay. I'm really not sure how far the Sentinels go in terms of, I guess, what MK models. But I know at least the MK-1 Sentinel has a disintegrator
mm-hmm.
that only works with inorganic matter.
Oh.
So it has a ranged attack.
Yeah.
It could do a lot more than any of Optimus's guns, I think, could do against a Sentinel.
Okay, yeah.
And then if you go on to the MK2,
mm-hmm.
the MK2 have self-repair that they can do within seconds.
Yeah.
And they can also, their adaptability is they could analyze like any weapons or powers used against them and basically develop like counteract protocols in like record time.
Yeah, we do have the point that Sentinels, I think, have been around longer than the Transformers, so they would have more stories that give them more abilities. That's interesting. The self-healing and the disintegration attack that attacks purely non-organic material. That's interesting.
Yeah, I definitely think that the MK2 Sentinels would definitely have a fight against Optimus Prime, if not them winning.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the maneuverability of Optimus Prime being a bit more sentient and a bit less kind of robotic,
yeah,
having its own intelligence, I think that he would kind of have an advantage of some sort of tactics against the MK1, even with the disintegration ray. I think that the amount of time for targeting Optimus could destroy that thing.
That's true.
So that's something.
So who do we think would come, who do we think it would come down to in terms of speed? Because obviously Optimus has his maneuverability, but the Sentinels are also built to contend with powerful mutants like Quicksilver, who can move super fast.
They have rockets on their feet.
That's true. That's true.
So they can fly. I think that Optimus would be a bit more maneuverable.
I think so.
I honestly think that the Sentinels, if it was anything past like the MK1 Sentinel, would destroy Optimus Prime. Unless he has some crazy like super abilities, which that's what I'm trying to look out now. Apparently, as part of the TV show, he could change any part of his body into a tool or gadget.
Mm-hmm.
He has bolas. He has a grappling gun as a part of him, and a negative friction spray.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what that means. It sounds amazing, though.
No clue. Good for him. Well, I think at that point, Optimus's best shot would be getting in close. And even then, if he can get in close with his sword or his axe, do we know how powerful, how significant the Sentinel's healing factor is?
That is something really important.
Because Optimus can die and get injured, and he needs a medic to heal him. He can't heal himself.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how powerful the healing factor is of the Sentinels, Optimus kind of would be screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what the great Google says.
Mm-hmm. Praise be the great Google.
Yes, praise be the great Google. What I can see in terms of its adaptability of, like, examples that it's done is it can vibrate itself to cancel Hawkeye's vibrating arrows. Scalding steam against Iceman.
Yeah. Okay.
A protection against Thor's hammer, which.
Oh.
That's. Yeah. It can also vibrate to cancel Vision's intangibility.
Mm hmm.
So, I mean, a protection against Thor's hammer.
That's pretty significant.
Is kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
If you can take a hit from Mjolnir.
Yeah, I kind of think that.
Yeah.
The issue that's going against me is Sentinels could be beat, I guess, in Marvel.
Yeah.
For a good part of the time. Because the disintegrator they had only worked on inorganic matter. And then you're talking about Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Alright. It doesn't really say anything about the self-repair to an extent. But it said it could do it in seconds.
Mm.
So I would say if it took a really bad beating,
yeah,
I would say maybe 15 seconds at most.
Okay, yeah.
So question is could Optimus Prime get the headshot?
I bet he could, because Optimus is like the best fighter amongst the Autobots. And I think Optimus's best shot is going to be getting in person, dodging that disintegration ray from a long range, getting in close and going in with the sword and the axe, And he is the best fighter. He's got to be a better fighter than any of the Sentinels. So if I bet he could do enough damage with axe one hand, sword in the other, just wailing away on them. I bet he could do enough damage.
Yeah, and one thing, one other big thing that I just kind of found is apparently they were susceptible to attacks affecting machinery. The Sentinels were.
Okay.
So
yeah,
we can kind of say it's like, you know, the blades that he has from Cybertron and some of the stuff like that is meant to be much more significant of a pain on, you know, the other Autobots, the, you know, Decepticons, whatever.
Yeah.
Or really anyone else from Cybertron. So if the Sentinels were susceptible to that, longer healing period, probably faster. Optimus probably faster than most humans other than Quicksilver.
Yeah.
And, you know, Quicksilver doesn't have the damage that anyone else could do.
Yeah. So he would have to get in close.
I don't know. This may go back to the Harry Houdini thing of the of the Sentinels are more loaded out with crazy stuff. But Optimus Prime, but he just maybe that much faster.
Yeah, if he can get in close, then I think he takes the win. But the question is, can he get in close? They had the disintegration ray that works on inorganic material. So the question is, can they hit Optimus? They are equipped to deal with super fast mutants like Quicksilver. So would they have a good enough aim to hit Optimus from long range before Optimus can get in close? I think it comes down to the fact that this is kind of a weak answer if we go with it, but Optimus is a protagonist, and the Sentinels are the grunts, they're the minions.
All right, that's a crappy answer, I'm not letting us use that.
It's a terrible answer, let's not use it.
I really don't know. Are you kidding me?
What?
This is nothing. So no, nobody really beat the MK2, the ones that could heal themselves in Marvel. They couldn't beat them. Apparently, they really just said, hey, instead of killing mutants, why don't you just stop mutants from, like, ever existing? Just let us die out and stop any more mutants from happening. And they're like, all right, fine. We'll stop mutations.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently all the Sentinels just flew into the sun. No, wait.
This is what happens when we do active research audience. No.
Yeah, when we do active research, this is the crazy stuff that we run into. No, I'm sorry. They fly into the sun. They become even more powerful. They become.
What? They're Superman?
They become mutants themselves. Oh. Yes. The Sentinels become mutants themselves, apparently. And then they're destroyed by the Avengers. Yeah, we're just going to ignore all these problems.
Let's ignore that. This is too much.
Yeah,
Okay, so let's think about more resources. What resources does Optimus have? He has the Matrix of Leadership. He never has the Allspark. He never gets his hand on the Allspark, so he doesn't have that.
Man, at this point, I don't think it really matters. I think Optimus does just win.
You think so?
Because I really think that he could, just being faster, could get him to a point where he would kill a Sentinel. I think it would be a lot closer with the MK2, the ones that can heal.
Mm-hmm.
But for just the first generation Sentinel, he could definitely destroy these things.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that.
Also, the point of Transformers, especially the Autobots, always help out humans.
Mm-hmm.
And other than the magically sun-mutated Sentinels, they had directive not to kill humans, like, at all.
Yeah.
So all he has to do is just kind of put a random bystander inside of him in wherever the hood of Optimus truck folds into.
Yeah.
And then he'll basically just become immune to probably the entire chest.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
So let's put aside the flight. All he has to do is get, like, a willing human to get inside of him in truck form, drive up, transform into Optimus form, and then just wail on a melee.
Yeah, there's so many tactics, but Optimus would be using a literal human shield to avoid getting killed by a Sentinel.
Oh my god, that doesn't feel like Optimus, but yeah, it's the best. I mean, Optimus puts humans in danger all the time.
He really does, but like, if you took Shia LaBeouf from those Michael Bay movies, he would totally get inside Optimus and be like, don't worry about this, I'll survive.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's a good point, Cole. I think that gives it to Optimus if he can get...
Optimus Prime.
I don't even suppose it would have to be an ally, just any human. So it doesn't even bring in the question of allies.
Yeah, no, he could literally pick a random human off the street and say, get in my car.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, human shield-wielding Optimus takes this round.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. God, lots of close matches this time. It just all except Terminator versus Iron Giant. Maybe that's a bit far.
Yeah, that one I don't even think was that close. Iron Giant.
No.
Would crush a T-800.
Well, in that case, let's bring it back around to this second round of matches with Iron Giant versus HAL 9000.
I'm not even entertaining this. Iron Giant's too big. He would just
quick round.
He would crush through that spaceship in a matter of seconds.
Yep, quick round.
He wouldn't even have to pull through any of the electronics in HAL's thing. He could just take spaceship, punch it, and then just rip it apart.
I don't even think he'd have any like problems doing it, because he doesn't like hurting living creatures. We see with like the deer, and when he's fighting the army, he doesn't like hurting humans, but HAL's not human.
Yeah, he would have no problem wrecking this entire spaceship.
Yeah.
And it's not like he could just kind of flick away the pods and just be like, wow, somebody just tried to like poke me on my leg.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all a pod would be.
Quick round.
Yeah, Iron Giant's my favorite to win right now.
Well, that is Iron Giant for the win for this round. Go ahead and quickly move on to Squiddies, or the singular Squiddy, versus Optimus Prime. Not as distant as our last round. I think the Squiddy would put up a fight, because the Squid... Okay, let's... Again, I think at this point, the human shield would do Optimus no good at this point.
The human shield would not do Optimus any good at this point.
No.
But also, Optimus just has gigantic guns.
Yeah.
That I feel like would just have a capability to just ravage any of the machines in the Matrix.
Okay.
The one thing I will make a point of is, can they heal themselves? Like, can they repair themselves?
They cannot heal. I will say something we didn't bring up in the last round. Squiddies do have, like you were saying with Eve, this would have been a good thing to bring up against Eve. Squiddies do have a sustained cutting laser. That's how they get through the hole of the Nebuchadnezzar in the first Matrix film.
Okay, so I'm glad I chose the machines even before I knew that. That just reinforces that they would have won that. But
So, truck mode, human shield tactic wouldn't do Optimus any good. The Squiddies do fly, so Optimus would actually need his trailer for this. Okay, here's my thought process on this one. In the Transformers movie, in the original animated movie, Optimus is killed when, I think, Megatron gets a good explosive laser hit to the chest. Squiddy's best form of large-scale range weaponry is the bombs. If the Squiddies can get one solid hit on Optimus in the chest, targeting his Matrix's leadership, Optimus might go down. And Optimus isn't as used to flying as the Squiddies.
So you do have a point there that I think that is the Squiddies' one opportunity to take out Optimus Prime. But, and I'm not really that familiar with Optimus's ability of flight. But you're saying when Optimus has like the crazy mechanical wings, like jetpack thing, that's part of like the trailer?
Yeah, he stores his wings in the trailer, yeah.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about like a fight with like them fully equipped, I would have to give Optimus his wings.
That's true, but Optimus does not come with the wings attached. He comes with the trailer. Why he would ever travel without the wings attached, I don't know. It's for toys. It's to sell toys, because people want to sell the trailer as an extended toy. But Optimus does not always have the wings attached. So if this fight starts with the Squiddy in the air and Optimus, because the Squiddies are always flying, Squiddy in the air, Optimus on the ground, all the Squiddy needs to do, one hit to the trailer, blow up the wings, Optimus is trapped on the ground, and Squiddy just needs to get another hit on the chest with a bomb.
But here's the thing, though. We're not saying it's the entire army of the machines.
Right.
I really think that Optimus could just take one good shot with a gun. And decimate the machine. I mean, humans have fought those before.
Right.
And shot them and just killed them super easily when you'd think they should be able to decimate humans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this should be a far easier fight. I really... I really think that Optimus has so many more options
mm-hmm.
to kill one of these machines than the machine does to kill Optimus.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I feel like it has only one solution, and that's if that solution works.
That's true. I think it's Matrix Revolutions? I think it's the third one. Quick Google. Matrix Revolutions, Matrix Revolutions is the third one, I think. In Matrix Revolutions, we see the humans fight the Squiddies when the Squiddies invade the city of Zion, the last human city. The humans are kind of fighting in these big mech suits that are kind of akin to a worse Transformer, and they take out swarms of the Squiddies.
Yeah, even from the distance, I think that the better Transformer in Optimus Prime could just pull out a gun and be like, I'm accurate.
Yeah.
Bam, just take one clean out of the sky before it even gets close enough to use a laser or a bomb.
That's true.
Even then, he could shoot a bomb out of the sky.
That's true.
I think this is clearly in Optimus Prime's favor.
Yeah. Yeah. Examining the usual opponents of either contender, Optimus is often fighting flying Decepticons, and the Squiddy is often fighting and losing to mech-suited humans. So yeah, probably a win for Optimus.
Good on Optimus. I'm glad he's made it this far.
Good for Optimus. Yeah. I think that's a pretty solid match in Optimus's favor. But, Cole, with the semifinals done, that brings us to the final round. Iron Giant versus Optimus Prime. Pretty even in scale. Iron Giant has definitely had height beaten against any other contender. But Optimus Prime is probably a little bit shorter than the Iron Giant, but not by much.
This one is tough for me, because I have to say that Iron Giant is strong.
Yes.
Optimus Prime, really strong.
Yep.
I have to say, just to get my puns out of the way, but I really think that Optimus Prime having two close battles, but finding some way to come out of them, again, fits with the whole Transformers mantra.
Mm-hmm.
There's been more than meets the eye.
Yep.
With every single fight that Optimus has been in, he's pulled it out. But in this case, I don't think he can get far enough.
You don't think Optimus can get far enough?
I don't think that Optimus can do it. I think that the Iron Giant would take this fight.
Okay, let's examine it. In terms of weaponry, I think Optimus, at first glance, Optimus takes it in terms of weaponry, but once the Iron Giant goes into full kill mode, he has like a mini nuke that he can blast out, a mini laser nuke that he can blast out, which is far and away tougher than anything Optimus has. In terms of maneuverability, they can both fly, and the Iron Giant can fly quick enough to catch a nuke in the atmosphere within seconds.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for the Iron Giant is that it can reassemble itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on a much better scale than like a Sentinel can.
Yeah.
It's like, even when it's completely blown to pieces, it may be slow.
Yeah.
But, you know, Optimus wouldn't win unless he found every single piece of the Iron Giant individually after he blew them apart and disintegrated all of those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, we've proven that they're not really good at finding things like the AllSpark.
Yeah, true.
Taking them decades or hundreds of years. But also, one thing that we forgot is that the Iron Giant's diet is things that are metal.
Is metal.
/ mostly metal.
Yeah.
Could the Iron Giant just cannibalize Optimus Prime?
Oh, Lord. He does eat other machines. I guess he wouldn't be averse to it. He probably would have eaten the nuke if it were going slow enough.
Yeah, I'm like, that's the problem. Is that he could literally just rip off part of Optimus Prime.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
even then, I think that's a point of, even if Optimus is able to take some good shots and injure him, Optimus is going to be traumatized.
Oh, God. Cole, in one episode, you've brought up slavery and cannibalism.
Look, I'm sorry for how dark this... No, I'm not sorry at all for how dark this episode has gotten.
No, you're not.
I think this just proves how important it is to be a friend to the Iron Giant.
That's true.
Because if you're not, he could literally destroy your entire life.
My God.
He wouldn't destroy you, but everything else in your life, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think the only, if Optimus stays at range, he might be able to get some hits on him, but the giant has better range weaponry. If he gets in close, Optimus probably has better up close weaponry, but the giant can heal from it. If, like, I think the only way Optimus could come out on top is like if he manipulated the giant's love for humanity, but Optimus wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, Optimus wouldn't think of abusing humanity.
No. Other than apparently a human shield, as we said.
Yeah, I mean, other than the human shield. I mean, okay, honestly, he would. Optimus Prime would fully take the human shield argument to this. But also, that was kind of a command that, like, the Sentinels couldn't break.
Mm-hmm.
The Iron Giant has kind of proven that I will very much regret what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a child, and a child that will very, very much not like hurting humans. Or mm-hmm. my friends.
Yeah.
But if they're being mean to me and trying to shoot my head off,
mm-hmm.
I will take them out. So I honestly think that Optimus would accept the human shield argument of like maybe one, two humans. He wouldn't go an entire town, which I think is the point where the Iron Giant may consider, you know, just letting himself die.
Yeah.
Or get as close to death as possible, as if an entire town rallied around Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they would do that, because I think the Iron Giant is just the bro to the entire town already.
Yeah.
Like, anyone that spends 10 minutes with this guy is just like, he's big and scary, but also, he only just wants to eat our junk cars that we're not using.
That's
so honestly, he's a great, you know, trash man.
Yeah.
He's getting rid of all of our rubble. He's a public service.
I did not expect this episode to end with the Iron Giant literally eating Optimus Prime when he's done.
I mean, I think that's the only way it could have ended. Is whether parts of Optimus were getting vaporized or blown apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's at some point, what's remaining of Optimus after he died would just become food for the Iron Giant.
It's true. Really, any of the contenders would.
Yeah, any of the contenders would just be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
They would just accept that as their fate, as the Iron Giant just takes over all machinery on Earth.
But he wouldn't, because he's too nice.
He wouldn't, but That is the main point of this episode, I think, is never fuck with a giant mechanical man-child.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. The Iron Giant just has basically a tactical nuke, like, in him?
Yep.
Yeah, no. There's no way Optimus can win. We entertained that for way too long. The Iron Giant is just way too powerful.
I think you're right. I think the Iron... Cole, I think I've set both of our deathmatch episodes up fairly poorly, because last time we had Merlin as the first contender, and he just swept through, and now we have the Iron Giant as the first contender who has swept through.
I mean, don't worry. There will be more deathmatches. We'll have a chance for you to correct it.
Okay, good.
But I think that we had a lot of close fights in, you know, the first round for everyone. The more we learned about the Iron Giant, the more he was just indestructible.
He really is.
It's insane.
I don't think anybody on this list has anything near the capability of a nuke, and the Iron Giant beat that.
Yeah, I'm like, if the Iron Giant can beat a tactical nuke, then there is no way that any other robot on this list could stand a chance.
That's true. Well, in the end, I'm pretty happy with that. It's such a delightful movie. I'm shocked that no one has gone back to it to remake it or make an unnecessary sequel. But
Hold on.
Oh?
I'm very glad that no one has gone back to make it.
Yes.
That movie stands on its own. It does not deserve a remake.
Absolutely.
Hollywood, don't do that, ever.
Don't even touch it.
But I think we also came to the point of, well, the Iron Giant is extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we like something that could basically destroy all of humanity is because of Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Maybe we can play D&D with the giant afterwards.
What if we did the Vin Diesel episode?
Oh, God.
Groot versus the Iron Giant. Think about it. Things that can try to be destroyed, but will just regrow and reform itself.
The Iron Giant would be worthy of the Infinity Gauntlet.
He really would, but think about it. Groot versus the Iron Giant. Now that's a battle of epic proportions.
That's true. Adult Groot Yeah.
Really is.
Well, excellent, excellent round of bouts between mechanical battlers. I was looking for a better B word. But good deathmatch and somewhat concerning cannibalistic ending. Somewhat of a happy ending because Iron Giant's a great movie.
Fantastic movie.
It's a great movie.
And we're just going to ignore the cannibalism.
Yeah.
They bring that back later. But for now, not a problem.
That's fine. Well.
All right, everyone. This has been a great podcast.
Audience, if you have any points of contention, anything we missed, any capabilities or weaknesses we did not think about, let us know.
Yep. And to end it here, it's been great time discussing how to fight everyone, but I've been Cole Browning.
I've been Kevin MacArthur.
You guys have just listened to this podcast, so go out and prepare to be unquestionably nerdy. Good night.
Good night.